أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has told us in an authentic hadith that has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Ahmed and others in them, that there was a man from Bani Israel who came during the time prior to this ummah. And he asked his brothers and his friends from Bani Israel to loan unto him 1,000 dinar. And 1,000 dinar today is a lot of money, not to mention 1,000 dinar of yesterday. So no one from Bani Israel wanted to loan this man the money, with the exception of one man who said, I'll give you the 1,000 dinar under the condition that you bring some witnesses so that they can witness that I bring you this money. The man said to him, verily, Allah is enough as a witness. Allah is sufficient. The man said, okay, then bring me a kafil, or someone who will be the guarantor. If you don't pay me my money, that person who was the kafil will agree to pay me my money. The man said, verily, Allah is sufficient as a kafil. I don't need to bring anyone else. Allah is my kafil. The man said, you have spoken the truth. So he agreed to give him the 1,000 dinar, and they agreed to have that money paid back to him at a prescribed period. The man who took the money decided to go out on a trip in the ocean. So he went and he arrived at a faraway distant land. While he was taking care of his business in the other land, the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he realized that the time had come to pay his debt. So he began to look for a boat to take him back to where he come from, his original place of residence, where the man is who's the rightful owner of the 1,000 dinar. But he couldn't find any transportation. So he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after getting a piece of wood and making a hole in the piece of wood and putting inside of that wood 1,000 dinar and covering up that wood, he said, oh Allah, you know better than anyone else that I borrowed these 1,000 dinar from so and so and so and so. And that man requested for me to bring some witnesses, and I said, Allah is the best witness, and he was satisfied and pleased with you. And then he asked me to bring forth a guarantor for his money. And I said that Allah is the guarantor, and he was pleased with you. And you know, Allah, that I have tried my earnest best to get back to where this man is so that I can give him his money. I've tried to find a boat, but to no avail. And I have made you responsible, O Allah, for this money. So he threw the wood in the ocean that contained a letter along with the man's 1,000 dinar. After throwing the wood in the ocean with the money and the letter, he began to look for a boat to take him back to where he came from, where the man who gave him the money was. So one day the man who gave him the money came out of his home, and he went to the ocean, hoping to see that there was a boat that would be bringing the man who took the money from him originally. But he didn't see anybody with his money, and he looked in the ocean and he found the wood. So he took the wood home that was in the water in order to use it for firewood. When he took it home and he began to break the wood up, he found inside of the wood the letter and the 1,000 dinar that the man had gave him. The other man who took the money was still in his place across the sea. He finally found a boat. He rowed the boat to the man, and he came to his house with his original 1,000 dinar. And he said, here's your 1,000 dinar that I took. The man who borrowed the money to him said, verily Allah has taken care of your debt. So keep that 1,000 dinar, your money, and go, and you are from those who are rightly guided. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, didn't tell us this hadith in order to entertain the people. But he told us this hadith because this is a situation that actually happened. And this hadith is talking to different people in our community. It's talking to that man and that woman who are afraid that Allah Ta'ala is not going to provide for them. Those people who don't realize that your sustenance has been decreed, not one cent pint is going to miss you that has been written for you, nor is one red cent going to come to you that wasn't decreed for you. We look at that man who came out to get his money, who came out to the ocean to look for his money. Do you think that he came out because he wasn't in need of his money? Of course. The fact that he came out is an indication that he was in need of his money. And then when he came out, he saw in the ocean a piece of wood. We can understand from the fact that he took the wood out of the ocean to use it for firewood, we can understand that he must have been impoverished. Because if anyone knows anything about burning wood, you know that if you take wood that has been put in water, and you try to use that for firewood, all it's going to give you is an excess of smoke. But his condition was so that he was forced to use that for firewood. So just as one of us has taken money from someone, that person who we took that money from initially, he may be there in a situation where he's impoverished now, and he needs to be paid back. He comes to the ocean hoping and seeking that you will give him his money back. This hadith talks to two people from our community. It talks to the person from amongst the Muslims who gives someone a debt or a loan. And it talks obviously to the person who has taken from someone a debt or a loan. Before giving those two people some encouragement and understanding, there are a few things we need to understand about the deen or about the debt in al-Islam. First of all, there is nothing wrong with being in debt in and of itself. As I look in the audience, I'm sure that every single grown man who is responsible in this musalla, everyone owes someone some money. Whether that someone is a kafir or a Muslim, everyone sitting here owes someone else a debt. And those people who are exempt, you can count them on one finger, on one hand. There's nothing wrong in and of itself. Look, everyone owes someone money. How could that be the case and something is wrong with the debt? The human being passes a time in his life when he doesn't have. And that's the nature of the human being. Only Allah Ta'ala is all proficient and all sufficient. The arzat or the rizq is in the hands of Allah alone. Everyone else is in need. So Allah told us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. O you people, not O you who believe, O you people, O you mankind, all of you are the ones who are poor. All of you together, you're poor. In comparison to Allah, you're going to be faced with a time where you have to go to someone to say, I need some financial assistance. There's nothing wrong with that. Allah is the one who is rich. And Allah is the one who deserves to be praised. We look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to prove this point, that there's nothing wrong with the debt in and of itself. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers, was the best of the sons of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. He was the master and the leader, the last messenger to mankind, the Habib of Allah and the Khalil of Allah. In spite of that, when he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah was in debt to a Jew. He needed some food. So he took his shield of jihad, the shield that he said about it and his spear, bury my wrist. He said, verily my wrist has been made under the shade of my spear. That's where he got his wrist from. Going in jihad and taking the money of the people who fought against Islam. He took his spear and he gave it to a Jew and he made it marhum. He left it as a guarantee for 3 sa'a of sha'ir. He needed some barley, so he took his weapon, he left it with a Jew, and he said, give me the food. When I get the money, I'll bring it back. And he died, and that was his case. In debt. But not the debt like us.
at least the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left with the Jew some property. So in his death, the Jew can go and he can pawn the spear and get his hop back. He didn't leave him with anything. The point that we're making here is there's nothing wrong with the debt in and of itself. Your circumstances may cause you to become indebted. The companion Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with another companion, and they begin to argue and their voices begin to raise in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose house, the houses of his wives, their hujarat, were connected to the masjid. He heard the voices of his companions. He put his head outside of the window. He said to Ka'b, Ya Ka'b. Ka'b said, Labbaik Ya Rasulullah. I'm at your service, O Messenger of Allah. He heard what they were arguing about. He said, leave off half of the debt that the man owes you. He said, I have done so, Ya Rasulullah. He said to the other man, now you get up and pay the money. The man got up and said, I have done so, Ya Rasulullah. Anytime the Quran and the Sunnah came to those people, they took care of business. So now the Quran and the Sunnah is going to come to those of us who owe people money. Are you going to take care of the business of giving the Muslims back what you have taken from them in good cheer? The people who have taken the monies of the people and you are not paying them back, there are a few issues we believe that you need to come to know about. First of all, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that the one who takes the debt and he refuses to pay it back and he has debility, he is an oppressor. He is an oppressor. Mubtil al-ghani zulm. The one who oppresses or the one who procrastinates, while he is capable of giving the debt back, this is oppression. To delay is oppression. And Allah Ta'ala does not like the zalimeen. And he told all of us, and given us some advice, those of us who are in debt, those of us who owe money, he said to us, اتَّقُوا الظُّلْمِ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمِ ظُلُمَاتِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Beware of oppression, for verily that oppression is going to come يوم القيامة as darkness for you, as a cause and a reason of your sorrow. So to hold back when you have it is oppression. Those of us who owe people money, especially from the Muslims, but the kuffar are included. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached while he was sitting with his companions, and a dead Muslim janazah came before him, and he was the imam and he was the leader. And we need to understand something, and that is, if one of us dies, la samah Allah, if one of us dies now, if no one prayed on that Muslim, all of the Muslims in Orlando are guilty and sinful. They brought the dead janazah, the dead body, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, the man died, let us pray over him. He stood up and he asked, Hal kana alayhi dain? Did he owe any money? Did he leave behind a debt? They said, no. He got up and he made the janazah. After that, another body was brought. He stood up and he said, did he owe any money? Does he owe anyone money? They say, yes. He owes 3 dinars. 3 dinars. He said, did the man leave behind any money for his inheritance? They said, yes, enough to pay his debt. He got up and he prayed over the second man. They brought the third man. Ya Rasulullah, stand up and pray for him like you prayed on the other two. He said, does he have a debt? They say, yes. He owes 3 dinars. He owes 3 dinars. Did he leave anything behind? They said, no. He said to the people, "Izin, sallu ala sahibikum. Then you people pray on him, because I'm not going to pray on him. For 3 dinars. 3 dinars equals what today? Not $20. So what about the person who owes the Muslim $100, $1,000, $2,000? What about him? What do you think would be the statement and the position of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the name of Abu Qutada radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, لو قتلت في سبيل الله وكنت صابرا ومحتسبا. هل كان هذا يكفر عني خطاياي؟ يا messenger of Allah, if I went out and made jihad and made the ultimate sacrifice, and I lost my life for this religion for Allah's sake, and I was patient, and I waited for my reward from Allah, would that wipe away all the sins that I did before? The salat that I didn't make, the backbiting that I made, the lying, the mistakes that I made in my life, getting killed in jihad, would it wipe it all away? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes. The man turned around happy, ready to walk away. The Prophet called him back sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said to him, "Illa dain," except the debt. Making jihad and dying and getting killed, it will wipe away everything except if you owe somebody some money. You have to give them their right back. So he told us in yet another tremendous hadith, for those of us who have parents and relatives who have died and they owe people money, he told us about the nafs and the soul of the believer when he said, "Nafsul mu'min mu'allafatun bi daynihi hatta yuqda anhu." The soul of the believer will be suspended. It will be connected to his debt until that debt is taken care of. If the man is in the grave, brothers and sisters, he can't do anything else for himself. So before you take your cut from his inheritance, you have to give the dain, the people who have the debt, their money, their rights. If he doesn't have anything left, then you have to take from your own pocket to give so that your mother's soul can be free. Your father's soul can be free. Those of us who owe people debt, those of us who owe Muslims monies, those of us who owe kafirs monies, we need to understand that if you continue to be satisfied with your condition, there is something wrong with your iman. Your belief is incomplete. How you believe in the last day and being responsible for your actions is incomplete. When we look at Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 58, the ayat in which Allah Ta'ala said to us, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha wa idha hakamtum bayna an-nasi an tahkumu bil-'adl." Verily Allah orders all of you people. He orders us to give back the amanas that we have, to give back the trust that we have been entrusted with. And if you judge between the people, judge between them with adl, with justice. This is ayat number 58 in Surah An-Nisa. If you turn to ayat number 57, which is before that ayat, and ayat number 59, which is after that ayat, you will learn something that is very important for those of us who want to acquaint ourselves with the tafsir of the Quran. In ayat number 57, Allah Ta'ala told us, "وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا." Those people who believe, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those people who believe and they do righteous deeds, we will cause them to enter into the paradise under which rivers are flowing all over the place. And then he went on to complete the ayat. That's ayat 57. Those people who believe. And then in ayat number 59, the ayat after the one we mentioned about the amana and giving it back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ul amri minkum." O you who believe, obey Allah and His Messenger, and those people who have been put in authority over you. The point that we want to make here is, if you were to read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, from the beginning to the end, you will find this tremendous imam always telling you what is the relationship of the ayat that he's dealing with the ayat that preceded it, and the ayat that comes after it. Every single ayat in the Quran has a connection with the ayat that went before it and the ayat that's going to come after it. So قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ has a connection with the ayat that went before it and the ayat that's going to come after it. And he'll explain to you what's the connection. In Surah An-Nisa, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, don't you see how Allah Ta'ala mentioned something about al-Iman in the first one and in the one that came after it. Why? The connection is that those people who have Iman, those people who have faith, they're the ones who are going to take responsibility of giving the amanat back to the people, of paying the debt. How can we consider ourselves believers, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he negated this false understanding of brotherhood and belief, when he told us, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَهَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. None of you truly believe. None of you have complete faith until you love for your brother that which you love for yourself. So, the person that you took the money from, Ya Abdullah, he may be like that man who was coming to the ocean looking for his money. He may be like that man who has to take wood that's in the water that's going to be harmful to him and his family just to burn it out of necessity because you have his money and you're playing games. You have the mumakala with his money. You're procrastinating and you are oppressing him. So with that being such, we say to the people who owe the Muslims money, those monies have to be returned back to their people. And if you don't return the money back to their people, rest assured, be promised that you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be held accountable for what you've done. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقَ وَالسَّدَادَ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الآن نوجه الكلام. We want to talk now to the people who have given the other people their money. The people who the Muslims have taken from them their money unjustly. And they keep their monies without paying them back. You brothers need to understand that first of all, Allah is with those who are patient. Allah is with those who are patient. And he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yadul ulya khayru min al-yadul sufla. The hand that is on top is better than the hand that is on the bottom. The one who has given you in a better position. Even though your money is not with you, you are in a better position than the one who owes you the money. You need to remember that the virtues of Allah are many. And as you sit here in this masjid, in this musalla, as you lay on your bed at night, when you sit with your family to eat dinner and breakfast, you need to remember what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He told us that whoever has given another person his money as a loan, and then he does what? He either gives him more time, or he totally, absolutely lets it go. He told us that while you do that, this will be a continuous sadaqah for you that will never stop. As long as someone has your money in their pocket and in their possession, every single day that is written down for you as a sadaqah. So don't be upset. You have to put your situation in perspective. Just as Allah Ta'ala made it easy for him to get the money, made it easy for you to give him the money, made it easy for you to get the money in the first place, Allah Ta'ala has the ability to send you the same money back, other than that money, and more than that money. Those of you who have given the Muslims your money, and you are being oppressed, and they're not giving you your monies back, then you need to also know and you need to also understand that if the people die and that is their condition, then you will be in a position where you will take from that man's good deeds. And if you exhaust all of his good deeds, you're going to throw on him your bad deeds. So you're actually in a situation where you're getting expiation for giving them your money. It's one of the ways that your sins will be purified. So those of you who are in that condition, be patient. Be patient. And it's no wonder, brothers and sisters, if a man becomes upset and he goes to the one who owes him money and he grabs him by his neck and says, where's my money? Or he exposes him in the community. And he says to the people, Abdullah, you can't give him money because he steals your money. Abdullah shouldn't become upset. And he shouldn't say, oh, that's ghiba. Oh, you oppress me. No, Abdullah, you deserve that. And that's from what your own hands put forth. The Prophet came to the man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, let me have that little camel. And when I get the money, I'm going to pay you back. A little baby camel. The man gave him the camel, a Bedouin. He gave him the camel. Rasulullah is good for it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man, after some time, came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he started to talk to him very tough. Where my money at? You took my money. The companions looked at this man and they almost got up to deal with him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions, Da'uhu, fa'inna sahib al-haq lahu maqad. Leave the man alone. For verily the one who has a right, the one who has this type of situation, who is old, his rights are out there, he has the right to make a statement. He has the right to be upset. You're playing with the livelihood of his children. So Abdullah, he shouldn't say, why do you do and deal with me in such a way? He should be exposed. If this is the way that he operates with the Muslims, he should be exposed. The last thing that we want to mention to you brothers and sisters is this. The haquq and the debt, the duyun of the people are different. Some of them are more serious than others. The debt that you owe your father is more serious than the debt that you owe your son. The debt that you owe your money, your mother, I'm talking about money. The debt that you owe to your mother is more serious than the debt that you owe to your brother. The most serious debt that we're going to be held accountable for are those debts that are the rights of Allah. How does the abd become indebted to Allah? First of all, the lady was making hajj. She came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her father, who was an old man. And he was laying on his horse, leaning on the neck of the horse, because he was old and infirm, fragile. She said, Ya Rasulullah, my father, as you can see, he can't sit up on the horse. How is he going to go to Arafat and Muzdalifah and make tawaf around the Kaaba? He can't even sit on the horse. He's an old man. Does he have to make hajj? Or can we make hajj for him? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your father, if he died and he owed some people some money, would you be responsible for paying the money? She said, yes. He said, even haqqullahi ahaqqu an yuqda anhu. He said, well, the right that Allah has is that he has more right for his haqq to be taken care of. So if you're going to pay money for your dead father, you also should make hajj for him if he can't make hajj. That hadith shows us that we have to take care of Allah's rights, and Allah's rights have the most strongest right to be taken care of. So those of us who haven't paid the zakat for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, the zakat on your gold, the zakat on the monies that you own, the zakat on your property, you're in a serious situation. Those of you who have married women and you haven't given those women their dowry that Allah Ta'ala made a right for them, this is the worst man in the eyes of Allah, in the sight of Allah. The worst of the people are those people who do what? Those people who marry a woman, have relationships with her, and then devour her dowry. It's a tremendous crime. Those people have come to the masjid, any masjid, and they borrow from the masjid money. You are dealing with the rights of Allah. Give the money back. How are you going to take the money and put your head on your pillow at night and not have a problem if you have some iman in your heart? One iota of iman. So let us begin to prioritize who we are going to give our rights to. Those of us who are the companions of zakat money, give the zakat money back to the people who deserve it. Those of us who have taken from the masajid of Allah, give back to the masajid what you have taken. Those of you who have married women, and up until this point, she still hasn't seen her dowry, give her her dowry and make the qiyas or the analogy from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us to pay our debt, to take us out of debt. And we ask Allah to teach us the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From his dua is that he used to say to Allah, O Allah, I see seek refuge in you. I seek refuge in you from the overpowering debt. The debt that when I owe a man, I have to run away from him. I'm like a slave. I can't come to him and look him in the eye as a man. Every time I see him, I run away. When he calls my house, I teach my kids how to lie. Tell him I'm not here. The earth has become restricted. So he used to make dua and ask Allah to save him from that. He used to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajiz wal-kasal. I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from being unable and from being lazy. I'm in a debt. I have a debt. Give me the wherewithal to get up, to go out to the ocean, to pick up the wood. And not to be of the dreamer. Maybe I'm going to win $104 million by playing Powerball. Maybe I'm going to walk and find some briefcase full of money. Allah is capable of doing that, Ikhwan. But intelligent people don't spend their time like that. Walking around looking, can I find some money under a car? In the garbage can. Got my nose in the garbage can. Those are from the dua or the supplications of the Messenger of Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get us out of the debt and to make us patient with those who owe us debt.
Bismillah. And alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd. Brother Bassam and Saif, they asked me about the khutbah to hajjah and the marriage. And I told them to wait until we, inshallah, did the completion of the other side of the khutbah. And that is, that we want to say, it is not an obligation to say the khutbah to hajjah when you're going to marry someone, nor is it an obligation to say the khutbah to hajjah when you're going to start the khutbah. As today, we didn't do the khutbah to hajjah and the khutbah, all of it, because it was going to be a long khutbah that would run over the time that has been allotted us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us as a proof of that, that you don't have to say khutbah al-hajjah as an obligation when the man or the woman presented herself to him for marriage sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he looked her up and down and he told her, I don't have any need for you, I don't want to get married now. The other companion said, Ya Rasulullah, marry me to her. He said, what do you have to give her? He said, I don't have anything. He told him, go out and look for something. Even if it's an iron ring, he came back, he couldn't get anything. He said, what do you know of the Quran? He said, I know surah or ayat such and such and such and such. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I marry you to her based upon you teaching her those ayats. And he didn't go through khutbah al-hajjah. He didn't say khutbah al-hajjah. So that shows that it is not an obligation to do khutbah al-hajjah for the nikah, nor is it an obligation to do the khutbah al-hajjah for the khutbah, even though that is the best thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for the hadith of Abu Huraira, that's in Bukhari and Muslim, and we mentioned it today, where the Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam to give him his money back, because the Prophet had taken from him previously a little camel with the understanding to pay him back later. And the man came and he asa' al-adab. He had bad etiquette with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as many of the Bedouins did. They were human beings, radiyallahu anhum. And the companions were about to deal with the man because they didn't appreciate the fact that you talk to the scholar like this, that you talk to the teacher like this, that you talk to the sheikh like this, that you talk to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he held them back and he told them, إِنَّ لِصَاحِبِ الْحَقِّ مَقَالٍ. Verily, the one who has rights, if his rights are going to be trampled upon, the one who has a right like this man, someone took something from him, he has a right to say something. So leave him alone. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the people, give this man a camel, a bigger camel. It was bigger and better than the baby camel that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially took from the man. And then he said to the people this very important statement that we wanted to mention, and that is, he said, "Inna khayrakum ahsanakum qada'an." Verily, the best of you are those who do a good job in paying back your debts. Those people who, when it's time to pay back your debts, you pay the debt back on time, in time. And if you can, do what I just did, you give a person more than what he actually gave you. For an example, if someone borrowed from you $200 and you agreed to pay it back to him in 2 weeks, you give him the $200 after 2 weeks, and then you also invite him over for dinner to show him that you appreciate what he did for you. This is the meaning of that hadith. Now, some people have taken this hadith to mean that if a person gives you $100, then the one who is lending you the $100 can now say, when you pay me back, give me $110. We say that that's haram and that is riba. That is interest. And you can't use this authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to prove that point that they're trying to prove, to make riba halal. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a condition wasn't made by the Bedouin. He didn't say, I'm going to give you this baby camel and then you in return give me a bigger camel. It was from the own accord of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam that he gave him extra. And Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu anhuma, he told us in al hadith that's been collected by al-imam Abu Dawood rahimahullahu ta'ala, kana li ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dain faqadani wa zadini. He said that I had a dain or a debt on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet owed me some money. He owed me. So he paid that debt that he had and he paid some extra. He increased me in it. So that's the meaning of that hadith. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say that the best of you is he who does the best job when it comes to repaying his debt. You can give a person some extra. You may give him an extra dollar or two, or like I said, feed him something, buy him a gift, because many times, as we mentioned before, people, they receive the loans from other people because of their straitened circumstances. So if your brother comes to you and he helps you out of a condition that is difficult, obviously in paying him back, you may feel that that's not enough. So you'll make dua for him, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anyone does some ma'ruf for you or something good, and you want to repay him back and you don't have anything, then make dua for him until you feel that you have totally paid him back. So you give him his money and you make a dua for him. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, from the best actions and the best deeds is to enter happiness upon a believer. So if you help the person out of his circumstances, that person who handles straitened circumstances, he comes, he repays you, and on top of that, because you helped to bring happiness to him and his life and his babies, he does something extra for you. But the point that we want to make here is, as long as the person doesn't make a condition, and he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to give you this, and you have to give me an increase, this is riba. But if the one who took the money is going to add from himself, then there's no problem with that. The Prophet has done it, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. There's another misunderstanding that people have concerning the debt. And they oppress each other concerning this. And that is the authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, whoever leaves a debt behind and he dies, then I am responsible for his debt or his loan. Whoever leaves a debt behind, he owes some more money and he dies and he didn't pay the money, then I am responsible for that debt. Now the Muslim of today, he looks at this hadith and he owes a person money and he becomes lackadaisical in his approach to satisfying the debt. And he thinks that this hadith is saying that if I have a debt to someone, then I don't have to pay it because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be responsible for it. And he feels that he's going to be responsible for it yawm al-qiyamah. That's not the meaning of the hadith. Even though it is possible that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can and will make intercession for the believers yawm al-qiyamah, and from the intercession that will be made is those people who did evil deeds, he will ask Allah Ta'ala to allow him to intercede to have them to be forgiven and taken out of the hellfire. And inclusive in those people who made sins are the people who owe people money. They have debt. But first of all, how do you know you're going to be from amongst those people so that you can take this hadith, whoever leaves a debt behind, I'm responsible for it? How do you know that you're going to be one of the people who are going to be worthy of his intercession, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But that is not the meaning of this hadith. The meaning of the hadith, whoever leaves a debt behind, I'm responsible for it, is understood in the totality of the statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. In the authentic hadith that has been collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim rahimahumullahu ta'ala, who said that he heard the Prophet say sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, or he said, whenever a janazah was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would ask sometimes, does the person owe money? If he didn't owe any money, he would pray on him. Or he would ask, does the person owe money? And if he owed money and he had the money to pay for it from his inheritance, then he would pray on him. And if they said to the person, owe money, didn't have any money to pay for it, he wouldn't pray on him. Abu Huraira said, this is what he used to do. And then Abu Huraira went on to say, فَلَمَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْفُتُوحِ قَامَ فَقَالْ أَنَا أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَمَنْ تُوُفِّيَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَتَرَكَ دَيْنًا فَعَلَيَّ قَضَاؤُهُ وَمَنْ تَرَكَ فَهُوَ لِوَرَفَتِهِ. Abu Huraira said, this is what the Prophet used to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to ask about the condition of the dead person, whether or not he had a debt. And if the person died leaving behind a debt and no money to take care of it and no one to take care of it, the Prophet wouldn't pray on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abu Huraira went on to say, but then when Allah Ta'ala gave him victory and he started to gain dominance and control over the people and he started to make money from jihad, when that happened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up in front of the people and he said, I am closer to the believers than their own selves. I care about them and their well-being more than they care about their own selves. And that is an ayat in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer to the believers than their own selves. He cares about their well-being more than they care about their own well-being, and his wives are their mothers. Anyway, the Prophet went on to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am closer to the believers than their own selves. So whoever dies from the believers and he leaves a debt, I am responsible for taking care of it. And whoever leaves something behind, meaning an inheritance, then it is for his inheritors to take care of the debt. So we understand from this hadith that it's talking about that he is responsible for the debt of the one who dies, meaning from the Baytul Mal. If a Muslim dies and he owes a debt, then it is permissible for that debt to be paid from the Baytul Mal if he left behind orphans, if he left behind a widow, a mother, a wife who doesn't have the ability to pay the debt, then it's okay for the imam or the responsible people of the community to pay for that debt out of the Muslim's monies so that that person's soul will not be suspended in animation like that waiting for the debt to be taken care of. And that's the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he told us, من أخذ أموال الناس يريد قضاءه أدى الله عنه ومن يريد إتلافه أتلافه الله. Whoever takes the money from the people, he takes the debt from the money, from the people, and he has the intention of repaying the debt, he borrows and he has the real intention of repaying, then Allah will find a way for him to repay it. If he dies, the imam will give it to him. If he dies, one of his companions will give it to him, as Abu Qatada did for that man who was mentioned in the hadith earlier. The first man came, he had a debt, he didn't have any debt, so he prayed on him. The second man, he had a debt, and he left behind 3 dinars, and they took that 3 dinars and they paid his debt off, the Prophet prayed upon him. The third man was the man who owed 3 dinars, and he didn't have anything to pay with his debt, and the Prophet ﷺ said, then you people pray for your companions. I failed to mention the last part of the hadith, and that is that Abu Qatada, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, pray over the man. I'll pay his debt. So if a person has the true intention of paying the debt, Allah Ta'ala will make a way for that debt to be paid. But if the person takes the monies of the people, as the hadith said, in order to waste it, to spend it unjustly, in order to lose it, then Allah will lose him. أَطْلَقَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah will waste him. نَسَلَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْعَافِيَةَ وَالسَّلَامَةَ. I want to end on this other point to clarify about what we mentioned about the companion Abu Qatada. When he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, if I am killed in the cause of Allah and I am patient and I seek my reward from Allah, would that be an expiation for my sins? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. I went on to elaborate to give an example of how this relates to us and not to the companion Abu Qatada, when I said, for the lies that you made, for the ghibah that you made, for the salat that you didn't make. It's not talking about Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, but it's talking about us. So whenever you brothers hear something like that in the khutbah, you have to automatically assume, even if it may come after the mentioning of a companion, that my minhaj is not to talk bad about those illustrious stars radiallahu anhum. And don't think he's saying that Abu Qatada didn't make salat. Is he saying Abu Qatada made ghiba? Kalla wallahi. This is from the kaba'ir, from the major crimes and the major sins. Even if we knew that a particular companion was guilty of doing some crime which is in contradiction to al-Islam, we will explain it and put it in its proper light, and we will make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them and He forgives us, insha'Allah ta'ala. So if you brothers have any questions concerning what went forth today, you can feel free. There were some other hadith that I wanted to mention, but the time didn't allow, to show the people who had gave Muslims the money, why it's also in your best interest, insha'Allah, to be patient. Like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, من أنذر معسرا أو وذعه أذله الله في ذله يوم القيامة. Whoever is patient with a person who has difficulty paying his debt, he's patient with him, or he outright lets the debt go, he remits it, Allah will shade him in his shade يوم القيامة. So we know that this is another one of those authentic hadith where we get a ziyada or an addition to that other hadith. Seven people who Allah will shade in his shade on the day that there will be no shade. And he mentioned those seven people. In this hadith, there is an eighth person who will be in the shade of Allah. And that is the person who gives a person time to pay for his debt. And that's why we mentioned before that those ulama used to say, we will not take a position in understanding a particular hadith until we gathered all of the narrations. Because here we have another narration that comes that includes another person, that there will be an eighth person who will be shaded in the shade of Allah. And the shade of Allah is the shade that comes as a result of His throne. And it is a shade that is befitting His majesty. And it is a shade that is from the unknown. It is not a shade that is His rahmah. It is not a shade that will be created that day. As our Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said in his explanation of Riyadh al-Salihin, may Allah Ta'ala give him one reward for that mistake, in the Sunan of Al-Imam Sa'id Ibn Mansur, one of the good books of Al-Hadith that not many people know about, there is an addition to that hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is the shade of Allah's throne. And that is very virtuous to show you that if you were to make it easy for a person to repay the debt, to repay the loan, then inshallah you will be of those people who will be under the shade of Allah in the day that the people will be in dire need of the shade. There was another man who the Prophet told us about, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to loan people money, and he used to send his young boy to collect the money. And anyone that he found who had difficulty repaying it, he would say, forgive him and remit the debt altogether. So Allah Ta'ala forgave that man for his sins and entered him into paradise. So I know how it can be extremely difficult for us to deal with people who owe us money, because the human beings have this izzah and we have pride, and we don't want people to think that they can take advantage of us. But we should try to overcome that and look at the bigger picture. And that is, I have a continual sadaqah, and I'm sitting down not doing nothing. I'm not doing anything while that person has my money. And yet another authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he told us, دَخَلَ رَجُلٌ الْجَنَّةِ بسماحته قاضيا ومتقاضيا. A man entered into paradise because of his samaha. This is a word and a concept we should know. Al-samaha. Al-musamaha. Al-musamaha means to forgive a person, to overlook. I had a teacher, his name was Mansour Khalaf. When we were in the Shoba, in the language program in Medina, he used to always say to the student who couldn't answer the question, Samahakallah. May Allah overlook what you do, not bringing your homework. Samahakallah. May Allah overlook the fact that you didn't have enough ihtimam to memorize what you should have memorized from the Quran. That's a beautiful word. Every time I hear it, I remember Sa'ud or Mansour Khalif. Jazahullahu khairah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, there was a man who entered into Jannah because of his overlooking the people when it came to getting his debt back, and also when it came to the other man, the same man, repaying his debt. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon the man. رحم الله رجلا سمحا إذا باع وإذا اشترى وإذا اقتضى. Allah will have mercy upon the man. I pray that Allah has mercy upon the man who is samh. He is easy and he overlooks when it comes to buying and when it comes to selling and when it comes to repaying the debt. And having mercy on the people when they have to repay the debt. So when he goes to purchase something and he says to a person, how much is this? And the man says some exorbitant amount of money that he knows is oppressive. He doesn't say to the man, Astaghfirullah, you are oppressing the people. You are this, you are that. How some of the people, this is our methodology. When someone does something or says something against what we want, we are extremely harsh against them. We take the extreme in rebuking the people. You don't love Islam. You're out of it. You're a deviant. But he just says to the man, Ittaqillah, akhi, it shouldn't be that much money. Subhanallah. He doesn't say, I'm going to buy from the kuffar. No. He deals with it appropriately. Also, when he buys from the people, when he sells, this is how he is. When he sells, he doesn't say, I bought it, wallahi, for $10, I'm going to sell it for $20, you don't want to get out of my store. No, he's easier than that. It is not worth all of that. And when it's time to repay the debt, or to reclaim his debt, he is samhun. He is easy going with the people. And this is the religion that the Prophet was sent with, brothers, and this is the religion that the Dawah to Salafiyah is about. This is the asl of the Dawah to Salafiyah. Al-Rifq wal-Musamaha. Being easy, nice, and lean. Being easy with the people. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, inni bu'ithtu bil-hanafiyyati samha. Verily I have been sent with the upright religion, al-hanafiyya, and the samha, the religion that makes things easy for you. Easy for you in your ibadah, easy for you in getting along with one another, easy for you in getting along with the people. So let us remember that point in all of our affairs. In the amr bin ma'ruf and the nahi an the munkar, easy. In your ibadah, easy. In your relationships with one another, easy. In your relationship with your wives, easy. In your relationship at the workplace, easy. In your relationships with the people who are not upon the dawah, easy. But sometimes the maqam or the circumstances necessitate that we use shidda to deal with the people. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, ju'ira rizqi tahta dhil rumhi. My sustenance has been made under the shade of my spear. And that was the point that I was trying to make. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his shield. You know, the shield, not the spear. He left the shield that's on your hand that prevents the man from hitting you. You pick it up and put it in front of him to block it off. And we should learn how to use these weapons, because the jihad is going to return. The state of warfare, the art of warfare is going to return, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to using horses and swords. So we should learn some martial arts to accompany and also to complement our knowledge of the other weapons that we know how to use. So the point that we were making was he took his shield that was extremely important to him and he left it with a Jew in order to get 3 sides of barley. His sustenance has been made under the shade of his spear, and he is going to take his shield and leave it as collateral. So the point that we're mentioning right now is that that shows that you have to use shiddah, or harshness against some people. No doubt about that. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلِ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنِّي عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I have been ordered to fight the people, to kill the people, until they bear witness, La ilaha illallah, and that I am his messenger, and that I am his prophet. So likewise, this is the legacy that he has left for us, the Quran and the Sunnah, to fight for the truth in the way that is going to bring about the most benefit. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Whoever from amongst you sees a munkar, then let him prevent it with his hand, with power. Let him stand up and break it. Let him break the cross. Let him kill the swine. Let him grab the person by the neck and choke him to death if that's what he deserves. Of course, we're talking about in jihad. We're talking about killing people in jihad. Let him flog him. Let him chop his hand off. Let him chop his head off. And if he can't do it with his hand, he doesn't have the power, then let him change it with his tongue. Let him teach the people. Let him exhort the people. Let him get on the minbar and give the people some direction and instruction and information. And if he can't do that, then let him hate it in his heart. And that is the weakest level of iman. So all of those and many other examples are examples and indications that it is permissible in al-Islam to use the shiddah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated jihad, because there are different types of people. There's the one type of person who, if you were to explain to him, his fitrah has not been contaminated. So therefore, he'll take the message and he'll become mustaslim. He'll become those who submit. And then there are the other people from Bani Adam who, if you were to talk until you were purple in the face, they're going to reject what you're saying. And not only that, the rejection isn't enough, but they're going to stand up and outright declare war against you and what you're about. So therefore, you defend yourself. And kafa billahi wakila. And Allah Ta'ala is enough to be the wakil for the believers. وَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is enough as a wakil. And what a blessed wakil he is. So, inshallah ta'ala, if you brothers have any questions, you can take this time out now to ask any questions. If not, we'll prepare inshallah for something else. You have any questions? Tafaddal. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك